Jesus continues to talk to the people about John the Baptist. John, who had preached to so many. He'd been famous in the land of Israel. That was 2 years ago now, around. And people had begun to forget him and his preaching. John himself was in prison. But he had sent some to come and ask Jesus a question. Those people had come and then they'd gone. Jesus was talking to the crowds about John the Baptist, about his preaching. There's many preachers in the world. Many sermons are preached. Some of them are good and some of them not so good. And we can often find much to criticize, much that's wrong. But at the end of it, it is not our verdict which matters. It's not what we say that matters. It's what Jesus says that matters. So we hear and we go out into the week. But what does Jesus think of what we do? The final judgment will come. Jesus will take his throne of glory. Every one of you, every one of us will be there. Jesus will give his verdict. And that's a little bit of what's happening here. The people had heard the preaching of John. The people had heard the preaching of Jesus. And what had they done? Jesus gives his verdict. All the people point the finger, say, well, this preacher, well, that preacher. But now Jesus says, what about these people listening? So in verse 33 and 34, we think about these two preachers, John the Baptist and, well, Jesus himself. He calls himself the Son of Man, the Saviour himself. There was John. His life was severe. It was a harsh life. He was in the desert. He didn't have fine clothes. He just ate wild food. He just had wild clothing. And he preached a strong message, a severe message. Repent now, he said. God is a holy God. Repent now because his anger is coming. His law is holy. His commandments are pure. You have broken the law of God and you are not ready for him. That's what he said. He said the Messiah will come and judge with fire. The Messiah has got his axe ready to cut down the tree. And you're not ready. Turn before the wrath of God falls upon you. Because God certainly judges the wicked. And there will be no escape when his fire starts to burn. John preached these things. You need to hear that preaching. Many preachers only speak good and pleasing things. But the word of God tells you that the anger of God burns against your sin. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. These are days of ease. You can go to a church for a year and all you'll hear are easy things. These are days of laziness spiritually. People just want to believe, oh, God will bless me, God will bless me, God will bless me. What about God's law and God's holiness? What about God's hatred of our sin? What about God's judgment? We need to hear these things. Many say, oh, it'll be well, it'll be well. But it won't be well unless you repent. It won't be well unless you turn and flee to the Saviour. And John was driving these things home, preaching to the people his severe life, his severe clothes, his severe way of eating. His severe preaching was to wake up a sleeping people, turn them again to God. Jesus came in a different way. John had prepared the people, he'd made them ready, he'd woken them up. But Jesus came a different way, and it's there in verse 34. He came eating and drinking. What it's referring to? Well, when people said to Jesus, "Come to my house, we're having a feast, I want you to preach to the people there," he'd come. Well, if he could go where there was an opportunity, he went there. When Matthew, the disciple, made a great feast for all the other tax collectors and all the other bad people who were the friends of tax collectors. You remember, tax collectors were, they're really outsiders in Israel because they worked for the Romans. Well, Jesus went to that feast and he met, in another place we read, with the prostitutes, with those who had the worst lives of all. Wherever people would listen to Jesus, he went to them and he showed them a welcome. Yes, Jesus preached repentance, and that's in the Gospel of Luke 2. He said, "Unless you repent, you will all perish." But he didn't stay away from the people. He got so near to them to show them God's welcome. Maybe you know the story of the prodigal son. That son who rejected his father and said, "Father, just give me my part of the inheritance. Don't let me wait until the proper time. Just give it me now." And as soon as he got it, he went away from his father. He wasted it in an awful life of sin and selfishness, partying and visiting prostitutes. But when he woke up, when he realized what he'd done, he returned to his father. His father was already waiting for him. His father was already out looking for him. His father, as soon as he saw him, said, "Bring the best robe, kill the fatted calf, let's feast, let's make merry." And the son was saying, "Father, I'm not worthy, just make me a servant." And the father wouldn't hear any of that. He said, "My son was dead, but he's alive again." That's how Jesus was acting towards the people. Yes, the people who'd done terrible things. Some of the worst people in Israel he was with. Yet, when they heard from him and when they repented, he showed them God's welcome for returning sinners. God is a merciful God. God has his arms open wide to welcome you if you'll run back to him. He won't start listing all the things you've done. You've done this. Oh, you did that last year. Yesterday you said these things. No, he throws open his arms and says, "Let us feast together, because my child has come back to me from that far, far country that they've been in." And that was what Jesus' life was showing the people. Yes, his was a life of complete holiness, complete obedience. He never made any compromise with sin. But when a sinner came to him, he welcomed them and rejoiced with them. So the kind of outward appearance of Jesus and John, their outward preaching and ministry, could look quite different. God sends all kinds of preachers, all kinds of people, some educated, some not educated, some rich, some poor. Some can speak very well and quickly, some may be a little slow. But we shouldn't expect them to all be the same. We shouldn't require them to be all the same. We shouldn't say, "I don't like this kind of preacher." What we should look for is, do they preach the truth? Is it God's words that they're bringing? Or is it something else? Are they telling me the truths which are found in the scripture? Look for that. Don't just look on the outside. Hunt for truth. Look for a godly life. Say, is their life the same as their preaching? Are they walking themselves in God's way? Are they showing us an example? Look for those things. Because we're with Jesus and John, their lives were so different, yet they were both walking in holiness. It was Jesus in perfect holiness. They were both speaking the word of God, as John emphasized repentance. and Jesus showed people the welcome that God was giving. Are you looking for the truth of God? Are you looking for the truth of eternal life? It's easy to criticize, find something wrong with the preacher, because there's always something wrong unless it's Jesus himself. What's your heart looking for? So these were God's two spokesmen, very different. But though they were different, the people treated them the same. Both preachers had one aim, trying to bring people back to God, trying to declare the gospel, bring sinners to repentance. They had one aim. John talked about the anger of God that's coming. Jesus also told them of God's welcome. But there was one response from the people. They rejected it. They didn't repent. They rejected it. God came at them in different ways, in different approaches, but they rejected it. So what did they say with John? That's in verse 33. John, when they saw his strictness, when they saw his severe lifestyle, they said, he has a demon. They said, he must be mad. Why is he so severe? Why is he dressing so simply? Why is he eating the wild food? Why does he not have time for the other things in life? He's preaching to us with a force we haven't known before. Our other leaders, our other preachers don't preach so strongly. Too much has made him mad. He's taking it too seriously. He must have a demon. So they rejected him. But with Jesus, when Jesus came so close to the sinners in the land, they said, well, how can he get so near to those people? That's in verse 34. Well, it says the Son of Man, that means Jesus, he came eating and drinking. It means he wasn't like John, where he had a very strict, severe lifestyle. If you invited him to a feast at your house, he'd go and he'd eat with you. He preached to you whilst you were there. But they saw all the other people who were coming. And they said, well, he must be like them. Now, they called him a glutton. That means a greedy overeater, person who eats too much. They called him a drunkard. Of course, Jesus was not those things. But they saw the people he was with. They said, a friend of tax collectors. Those tax collectors who are working for the Romans against our nation. Friend of sinners. The very worst people in the land. They say, that's the kind of people that Jesus is with. Unclean people. We don't want to have anything to do with them. And so they rejected Jesus as well. They found fault. Jesus came fellowshipping with sinners as he welcomed them back to God. But they insulted him because of it. Jesus says, what is this like? Verse 31. What can I compare these people to? What are they like? Verse 32. They're like children sitting in the marketplace. Sokoni. Seems as you went to on the market days in these towns, everybody's there, and there's groups of children. These children have the instruments of music, some kind of pipe, some kind of flute. Verse 32. They play a happy tune, but nobody dances for them. Then instead they play a tune from a funeral, what's called a dirge, a very sad song. So maybe their children are copying the songs that they hear. They go to a wedding. They hear a wedding tune and everybody dances. Or they go to a funeral. They hear a funeral tune and everybody's mourning. But as they play in the marketplace, nobody's getting up and dancing to their tune. Nobody's getting up to mourn when they play their sad tune. And they say, what is this? We play this tune, you don't like it? We play this tune, you don't like it? Jesus said, you people. You're complaining because God won't get up and dance to your tune. You say John's too strict. And you say I'm too loose. You say he doesn't eat and drink enough. You say I eat and drink too much. Whoever it is God sends, you find an excuse not to repent. Are you like that? Whatever you hear, whatever the preacher says, you find an excuse not to repent. Whatever you hear about the love and mercy in Jesus, you find a reason not to come to him today. Why to wait a little bit longer? Why now is not quite the right time? Why these are not the right people to join with in his church? It's childish. And Jesus isn't fooled by our excuses. He looks at us and he sees us and he knows us. Like children in the marketplace, always calling out a tune, nobody dancing, and then complaining about it. We can't play games with God. We can't tell God the tune. Whatever we find in his word, however it comes to us, we should follow it, because he doesn't let us make excuses. Now, after he spoke these words, then in the Gospel of Matthew, so on the other side of your sheet, we have Jesus then condemning them. Yes, they condemn Jesus, but he condemns them. It says he began to denounce the cities in which his miracles had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! So towns up in Galilee. If these miracles had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago, wearing sackcloth with ashes on their head. I tell you the truth, it will be better on the day of judgment in those towns than for you. You, Capernaum! Capernaum, Jesus' own town, the one he was living in. Capernaum, are you going to be lifted up to the skies? No, you will be thrown down to the depths. If the miracles which I had done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained, even to this day. In our studies, in our believers' fellowship afterwards, we've been reading about how God destroyed Sodom, a very wicked city, a city of unnatural practices, and God sent down fire from heaven upon it. Yet Jesus says, if I'd shown them the miracles which I've shown you, they would have repented. God would have spared them. They would have still been here. To see Jesus himself would have been a wonderful thing, but they didn't see it. God gave them less blessings and less privileges. Jesus says, when you've seen the truth clearly, you ought to repent. You ought not to wait. You ought not to make excuses. Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom, these cities in the Old Testament, they were judged very severely. But they never knew the truth that we now know. They didn't hear the name of Jesus. They didn't know that he was crucified for the sins of the world. They didn't know he was raised up and made to be Lord of all the nations. They didn't hear about his delight in mercy and forgiveness. They weren't invited to come to Jesus, the risen Son of God. And yet we've heard those things, and you know those things. God will hold you responsible if you don't respond to them. Now that you've seen God's light, you need to respond to it. They became more guilty because they didn't respond. Have you responded? Jesus sees through our excuses. But in verse 35, Jesus says, God's spokesman will be proved right. We've looked at these spokesmen and we've seen how they're rejected. God says they'll be proved right. The words Jesus uses, he says that wisdom is proved right by all her children. Children, he means those who follow. Those who follow wisdom. Those who are taught by wisdom. Wisdom's children. It's a Jewish way of speaking. You speak of the children of wrath. You mean those who will receive wrath. The children of wisdom. Those who follow wisdom. If you speak of children, well, it takes time, doesn't it? When the baby's born, grows up, it takes time. But when it gets big and you see its way of life, then you know what kind of parents it had. If the young man is good or the young man is wicked, you know what kind of parents it had. But it takes time. So Jesus is saying, don't just look and see everybody rejecting. Don't just look and say, well, the Pharisees have rejected me, the teachers of the law have rejected me, the priests have rejected me, and say, well, there must be something wrong with Jesus. Everybody's rejecting him. No, wait for the children to grow up. These who are now tax collectors, sinners, these who are now the worst of people, but they've repented. They've believed in me. The Holy Spirit is changing their life. They're becoming something different. Wait and see. Here we are now, 2,000 years later. All the good that Christians have done in the world, all the blessings that have come to many places and many nations as people have followed the way of Jesus, all the lives, the neighborhoods, communities have been turned around through the Lord Jesus. Jesus is proved right by time, and he will be proved right by time here in Eldoret. Many may reject Jesus, but those who love him and follow him each week, you'll see that Jesus was right. And you know, the Pharisees and the leaders in Israel, they never won any of these people back to God. The prostitutes and all the worst people in Israel, the Pharisees never got near them. They never brought them back. They never showed them a better way. They never turned their lives around. But Jesus was winning those people. John the Baptist was winning those people. See, don't look with these eyes of sight. Look with the eye of the Spirit and the eye of faith. Nobody will come here and be impressed and say, this is the best church in Eldoret, if they look to find where we're sitting and what we've got. But the Word of God will prove to be right. The Word of God will prove to be more powerful than if we met in a palace. If we go and try and win the nobodies, if we go and preach to the people that nobody else will reach, then wisdom will be proved right by her children. Don't judge according to appearance. Judge according to truth and with faith in the power of God. Well, the people, they gave their opinion. They said, John's too hard, Jesus too soft. And they didn't repent. But Jesus also gave his verdict. Excuses are no good. One day Jesus will point the finger at us and he'll say, well, did you repent? Yes, you didn't like that preacher. Yes, you didn't like this preacher. But they told you to repent. And that was truth. Did you repent? Jesus is the friend of sinners. His enemies gave him that name. They said, he's the friend of tax collectors and sinners. I think it's one of the best names he had. Jesus is the friend of those who are far from God. Jesus is the friend of those who've broken the commandments. Jesus is the friend of those who come to him. So why don't you come to him today?